Welcome to the Sourdough Can Be Simple podcast. My name is Mary, and I have a blog called therosehomestead.com, and I share a lot of sourdough stuff over there, recipes, tips and tricks, and other recipes as well. I do have an emphasis on freshly milled flour, but I decided it was time to start a podcast where we can sit down and talk slowly about certain parts of the sourdough process that I get a lot of questions about. Questions about the process itself, questions about the bread making process, the sourdough starter process, and everything in between. And I want to take my time on each episode and pick a topic, and we're going to just dive really deep into this because sourdough is not as complicated as we've been made to believe that it is. It can be complicated if you want it to be, but it really doesn't have to be. So stick around with me. Today's the first episode, and I really want to just take a few moments on this episode and introduce myself for those who don't follow me on YouTube or on my blog. I started doing sourdough close to 15 years ago now, and I have said this before on my YouTube channel, but I want to say it again for those who are new. Honestly, when I first started sourdough, I gave up because it was just too complicated from what I was reading. I got online, I started watching videos, and I started to read blog posts, and it just seemed kind of fussy to me. And so I got the sourdough starter going, but I gave up pretty quickly. And there was a part of me that said, it can't be this complicated. I know that, you know, on the wagon trains and Ma Ingalls' time, that they did not fuss this much with sourdough. They didn't have time. When you are homesteading and you are raising your own food, preserving your own food, raising animals, taking care of those animals, and gathering wood for the winter, and mowing fields, and, you know, there's so many things that come with that. The last thing that I had time for is to spend hours and hours and have this schedule, this rigorous schedule, to make a loaf of sourdough bread. And so I kept picking my own brain, you know, how would Ma Ingalls have done it? Well, I went to the library and I checked out all the books, the Little House on the Prairie books. I know that may sound strange, but I have such an interest in the ways that people did things in the 1800s. It's one of my passions, I guess you could say. And I found a passage in one of those books where I was like, hey, this sounds pretty easy. She had, I guess it sounded like fed her sourdough starter. They didn't call it a sourdough starter, but she had prepared a leaven, and put it on top of the cook stove, and so that it would be ready for baking the next morning. And she didn't have a scale, and she didn't have any fancy equipment. She just, I guess, put flour and water in there and allowed it to ferment overnight. And then she talked about her making bread in the morning, and it sounded really simple. And so I decided, okay, you know what? I'm just going to simplify this. I'm going to feed my starter. When it is bubbly, I'm going to take some out. I'm going to put it in a bigger portion of flour, water, and some salt. And I'm going to try to make a loaf of bread. That loaf of bread was terrible, but it did rise, and it showed me that you didn't really have to be that rigorous with your schedule. And so I decided to really start digging into a simpler method of sourdough. For me, that looks like keeping my sourdough starter in the refrigerator at all times, using my sourdough starter straight from the refrigerator at all times, and not really weighing any of my ingredients except when I am developing recipes and I'm going to be doing it for that particular recipe. I made a note on a YouTube video that's coming out soon that I am in the process of adding weight measurements to my recipes. It's going to take some time because I have a lot of recipes, but there are still a lot of people who are really interested in the weight measurements, and I understand. When I do a recipe that follows weight measurements, it's consistent. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to say that it doesn't work. It does work. But for me, that extra step of pulling out the scale and measuring everything out that way is just enough to kind of turn me off. And so I just like to, I guess I'm a fly by my seat type of gal. I like to just mix everything up and it always turns out. I just have kind of a basic way of doing it. But for those who want weight measurements, I am in the process of doing that. Let's talk about what you can expect on the Sourdough Can Be Simple podcast. I want to really take a different approach to sourdough, talking about sourdough on this podcast. I don't want to have very broad conversations. I want to really niche it down on each episode to one particular problem or issue or myth about sourdough and dig really hard into that. I want to leave no stone unturned when it comes to answering the questions that I get. And so that's going to look like talking about what we were just discussing, weight measurements versus volume measurements. I just updated a blog post. You can go over to my website, therosehomestead.com, and type in troubleshoot sourdough, and it will come up. And I was talking in that post about all the different parts of making a sourdough starter, all the different questions people have, and I'm really going to be pulling from that blog post for at least the next several podcast episodes. But I was talking about, you know, a lot of times, if you've been doing sourdough a long time, you might forget that you had those questions. But I was talking about, you know, how much should I feed my starter? What kind of flour can you use to feed a sourdough starter or start a sourdough starter? What if my sourdough starter doesn't rise bread? What if my sourdough starter gets a liquid on top? What if my sourdough stinks? What if my sourdough starter is active on day three, but then it's not active anymore? Please disregard, if you can, the traffic. I do live beside the road and I can't control that. So I used to stop when I would do voiceovers every single time and now I just roll with it. So, but anyways, the questions are, they sound so basic when you've been doing sourdough for a long time, but I had the same questions, and without knowing exactly what to do, it can really get overwhelming. And so this podcast is for those of you who, learn more if it's broken down into smaller parts. I know I'm like that. I need to master each part before I can master the whole. And I'm like that with everything, with YouTube, with my blog. I was just telling my husband, Casey, with this season that's coming up, we're in fall right now, with the season that's coming up and I'm going to be inside more, I have decided to take on some more projects. I have decided to take on some things like starting this podcast, and I'm working on another project. I'm not ready to actually announce that because it is probably going to be spring before I even get close to announcing that I'm doing it. But I am working on a project that I'm really excited about. It's a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of time, but I think it's going to be a great resource for anybody who is either new to sourdough, or maybe you've been doing sourdough for a long time and you still run into these issues. So with all that being said, I want to have as many resources available for people who want to do sourdough. And this seemed like a really great way to talk about all of these basic issues and problems that I get questions about every single day about sourdough. And sometimes if you just answer that one question and they get past that one hurdle, and then they move on to the next hurdle and you answer that question, that really helps build confidence. That really helps you to see that if you can just get over each hurdle, that it keeps getting easier and easier. And the next thing you know, that you are going to be having these wonderful loaves of sourdough bread. You are also going to be having to not have to think about it as much. You're going to be able to just look at it like, okay, this is not as hard as I thought it was. However, if you try to figure it all out right in the first beginning, it can be overwhelming. I want to give an example. I've been blogging for about 2.5 years now. I had no idea what I was doing. I'm still learning. But right at the beginning, I had no clue what I was doing. I didn't know what kind of camera I needed. I didn't know how to write a blog post, like structure it. I thought you just wrote down what you were thinking, took a few pictures, and they're all going to come. Everybody's going to read this this blog, and they're going to, you know, make my recipes and, you know, whatever. And that's not the case at all. There is actually like a science to writing a blog post, what you do before you write it, what you do after you write it. It all matters. The camera matters. The angles matter on the pictures, the keywords and the search engine optimization. These were all things that if I would have been hit with that right in the beginning, I would never have started my blog because it was just too much information. And so for me, I actually ended up blogging for 1.5 years with very little growth before I actually said, okay, I'm ready to start learning about blogging. I know that sounds so backward, but that's how my brain works. And so I bought a blogging course and I started checkmarking things off. And now my blog is growing really well. It's doing great. And it's easy to say, well, I wish I would have done that from the beginning. But like I said, I think if I would have, I probably would have not even started. It's just too much. And sourdough can be that way. Any new adventure that we take, it can be overwhelming when you hear all the information that goes along with it. Because let's just be serious. When you take on something new, if it's so hard that you can't even get past the first step, so with sourdough, that would be making the starter, you're not going to stick with it. There's just no way that you're going to be wanting to do that. You know, most people, I know this is how I am anyway. If I set a goal, you know, I will put everything I can into it. However, if it drags on and I just can't seem to figure it out, I'll be honest with you. I will quit because there's a point where I just can't take it anymore and I will walk off of that project and move on to something else. And I did do that with sourdough in the beginning. But if I have somebody who will kind of guide me, and for me, that was someone on YouTube that I started following, and I started making their recipes, and I started seeing that, you know, it was not quite as hard as I thought it was going to be after I realized, you know, that I didn't have to weigh, that I didn't have to, you know, do all these things. It helped to have someone that had kind of the same mindset that I had, that sourdough didn't have to be quite so crazy hard. And doing that gave me confidence. And I was able to get my own method, you know. I followed one person. It was a couple of people. I kind of just started picking my own way out of doing it. You know, it doesn't have to be exactly like everyone else. I tell people all the time, they say, do I have to keep my starter in the fridge? No. You know, sourdough is so customizable to your life. If you want your sourdough starter to be on the counter and you feed it more regularly and that works out for you because you're baking a lot more, then do that. I think that we almost have gotten to where we have rules for sourdough, and really you can make your own rules for sourdough. There's a lot of people that do. I've done it, and a lot of other people have done it. And you know, take for instance, you have to mix up your dough or your flour and water. You have to let that soak for 30 minutes, then you add your starter. And then you add your salt, and then you let that sit. Then you do your stretch and folds, and then every 30 minutes you do stretch and folds. Then you go every 15 minutes and do stretch and folds, and then you let it bulk ferment. And then, you know, and that's a recipe, but let's just break that down. I have a recipe that is one rise. You mix up your dough and you put it in a Bannetton basket and you let it proof and you bake it. And I have so many people tell me that's their go-to recipe. And I have a sandwich bread recipe that I mix up the dough in a stand mixer, I let it knead, I put it in the loaf pan, let it rise and bake it same day. And that's probably one of my most popular blog posts. And then I have an easy no-knead sandwich bread that rises overnight. That is also a really popular post. And I have to say that my most popular sourdough recipes on my blog are those that break the rules. You don't have to do all this stuff to get a good sourdough bread or cinnamon roll or, you know, whatever that you're making. Do I have recipes that are harder or not harder, but follow the rules more? Yes. And I have recipes that have two rises. I have recipes with stretch and folds. I have recipes that are no knead. I have recipes that are knead. But my most popular recipes tend to be those that are less vigorous, I guess we could say. And I stick with that. That seems to be what the people that follow my blog want anyway. And I appreciate that because they're like-minded with me. You know, we don't want something that's so complicated that we just can't do it. So all of that to say, I hope that you will follow along with these weekly podcast episodes, and I will eventually start taking questions so that I can have a topic, and I will go, you know, deep into that topic for every question that I get. Because I look at it like this. We are, the sourdough thing is, it's a journey, and I have not reached some kind of level that I am an expert, but what I like to teach people is my simplified method. Do all of my sourdough loaves turn out? No. Do all of my sourdough recipes that I develop turn out the first time? No. Sometimes you have to make a recipe three or four times and tweak and tweak and tweak. But I am so happy to have those of you who follow along and want this type of method for sourdough, because I honestly believe that busy people who are making sourdough, even if you're not busy, but especially for those of you who are busy, you're making sourdough, the last thing you want to do is spend a ton of time and effort researching and figuring out all the rules that you need to follow. You just want a loaf of bread. It doesn't have to be Instagram worthy. It doesn't have to be perfectly fermented or proofed. If it's a little underproofed, it's still delicious. If it's a little overproofed, it's still delicious. It's about getting wholesome, healthy, homemade sourdough bread on the table. All right. Well, I'm not going to make this first podcast very long because we're going to be diving into some pretty deep topics coming up. So please stay tuned. We're going to be doing this every single week. We are going to be diving into topics. And next week, I want to start out with the first thing being all about the sourdough starter, and we're just going to take it a step at a time. We're going to talk about considerations that you need to take when you are making a sourdough starter, and we're going to take one issue at a time. So next week, we're going to talk about a big question that I get, and that is this. My sourdough starter was really bubbly on day 3 or 4, and then it's not bubbly anymore. This is a big question I get. I can't tell you how many times I've got it, and I'm so excited to dive in to why that happens and what not really the science of it is, but the reason, you know, that it happens. We're not going to go too technical, but I do want to dive into it so that I can kind of calm the nerves of those of you who are making a sourdough starter, and that happens and you think you killed it. But here's a spoiler alert, you didn't. But we're going to talk about that in depth next week. Well, thank you so much for joining me for my very, very first podcast episode for Sourdough Can Be Simple. Be sure and check out my website, therosehomestead.com. I have a YouTube channel, Rose Homestead. I'm on Instagram, the_rose_homestead. And yeah, check out the show notes. I'm going to put all that in there. All right. Well, again, thank you for joining me. I hope you will meet me back here next week for another episode. And let's make sourdough simple. We can do this. All right. Well, thank you so much. And we will be talking with you next week.